Family, if you would, open your Bibles to Esther chapter 4 and verse 1. We've been going through our series this year on Spirit-filled and Spirit-sealed. And again, we saw in the book of Esther, chapter 8, we saw how the king gave his ring to seal. Mordecai gave him the ring to seal whatever he wanted to do, to write and to seal. And so now we're at the prequel, bless you. We're at the prequel where we kind of went back to see what happened before it became all right. Sometimes it don't start off all right all the time, amen? And sometimes it does, and you have to go through the process with God. And I think that's what God is teaching us, that we have to go through the process to get to where he wants us to go. But as long as we're with God, it's worth the journey. We know that God, one of the essentials of God, there are seven essentials. One of them is that God is always up to good concerning our life. And we don't see that all the time, but you have to know that eventually it all works together for good, as it states in Romans 8:28, for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So this, we have to always remember that despite what the circumstance and the situation looks like. Did I say Esther 4? Yes. Okay, I'll read Esther 4:1-2. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter voice, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Amen. So you should have in 4:1, you should have underlined in your notes. And I would encourage you to take notes and mark right in your Bible, so you can always go home and review and just kind of go over it when you're reading at home, when you're reading your Bible at home. Okay, where's Ivy at? Is Ivy here? Okay, Ivy has left the building. Okay, all right. So review and go over your notes when you're at home. But you should have perceived, which means discern. So Mordecai perceived, he discerned. From there, last week we went to, and let's just turn there quickly, we went to 2 Corinthians 10. So Mordecai perceived through a spiritual eyes that this is something that I just can't fight on my own. This is something I can't just deal with in the flesh. I have to go to my spiritual weapons, my spiritual bag of tricks, so to speak. When we were growing up, it was a cartoon called Felix the Cat. He would always go into his bag of tricks. Amen. That was a great cartoon with Rock Bottom and all those guys. And when he had to go into that bag of tricks. And so here's Mordecai, and he perceived, he said, this is something that's on a whole different spiritual level. Did I say 2 Corinthians 10 and 3? Amen. Amen. So we went over it last week, but it deserves repeating, because you have to understand, somewhere during the midst of this week, I hope you went into your spiritual bag of tricks. And what is the spiritual bag of tricks? It's praying, it's fasting, it's standing on God's word. It's walking away from sin. It's calling someone who's going to encourage you, and you can encourage them, and someone who's going to tell you the truth. It's meditating on the scriptures. That's the spiritual bag of tricks. That should be in your spiritual toolbox, your spiritual bag of tricks. 10 and 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Family, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war. Our war is not in the flesh. You just can't say, well, I'm going to handle this. I got this. I know what to do. No, you have to discern what's going on. And then you have to get spiritual, where you should already be, but you really have to get spiritual. Verse 4 is the key. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. So I'm not trying to fight somebody. I'm not trying to cuss somebody out. I'm not trying to have a get back. I'm not trying to have revenge. That's not my weapon of warfare as a Christian. Underline, but mighty through God. Underline through God. That's how we war through God. God, teach me, talk to me, tell me how to handle this. I want to deal with this through you, not through my flesh, because I will get in a whole lot of trouble. I will only mess it up. Somebody say amen. Amen. But now it's time for us to war through God. Jesus, they thought he was crazy. He said, you pray for your enemies. You bless those who persecute. Are you kidding? It's an eye for an eye. It's a tooth for a tooth. He said, no, not so. Not with the New Testament. No, he got to pray. Then he told him in another section of scripture that this kind only comes but by praying and fasting. Why we couldn't deal with that? Because you haven't been fasting. You've been praying, but you haven't been fasting. Jesus constantly taught us when Peter took out the sword and we read it around Easter time and cut the guy's ear off. Jesus said, no, we're not doing that no more. Stop trying to fight people. Stop trying to beat people up. And he put his ear back on. Because our weapons are not carnal. We got to cut that stuff out. You're not going to win. It only takes you further away from God and distracts you from the purpose of God on your life. But our weapons of warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshy, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And in verse 5, it said, casting down imaginations. Get your mind right. Casting down those thoughts and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There's stuff that's going to come against you and I that says, you know what, you need to handle this. Where God says, you humble yourself and I'll fight your battles and I'll lift you up at the right time. But your mind is going to tell you, man, I know how to handle this. Oh, I got this one. Oh, okay. All right. I see what they're doing. Okay, watch what I'm going to do. See, and then you got to cast it down. You can't let those thoughts come. That's why it's important to have scriptures memorized. So when those thoughts try and come, you pull out a scripture, what is it, James 4 and 7. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, God, okay. And then you go to Philippians 4, 8, whatsoever things are true and just and lovely and pure and honorable, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when you find your mind wandering, you pull up Philippians 4, 8 and get your mind right. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we should renew our mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So you always have to have something to go in your mind in place of your flesh. Otherwise, the flesh takes over and the flesh tells you what to do. And we know that normally doesn't turn out good. Even if it feels good, it's not going to work out good. Is Ivy here this morning? All right. He's in the back. All right. So the flesh is always trying to tell you what to do. And the spirit says you have to cast those things down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. So you have to bring that thought back and say, okay, but what does God say? You got to line up your thoughts, my thoughts, our thoughts have to line up with what God says. And I don't have to tell you that's an everyday battle. That's an everyday challenge. But what I was taught when I played sports is that what you practice, you get good at. So we have to practice bringing those thoughts into obedience because they're not going to come willingly. They're not. Can I get an amen on that? They're not going to come willingly. But you have to practice disciplining your thoughts, your imagination, your mind, your flesh. This whole Christian walk is just it's a discipline. It's a struggle to live a disciplined life. That's why we're disciples of Christ, disciplined followers of Christ. Somebody say amen. All right, let's go back to Esther 4. So we see that Mordecai Esther 4 and 1, Mordecai is mature enough to perceive, to look at this through a spiritual eye. So Christian maturity responds, immaturity reacts. Let me say that again. Christian maturity responds, perceives, discerns. Immaturity just reacts, just flies off the handle. Anger, emotions, all that kind of stuff. Family, you and I have to strive to respond and not react. Verse 2, he comes even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. So he took a chance of going before the king, putting his life on the line. And sometimes you have to, in your toughest, most difficult situations, you have to trust God that God has your best interest in mind. And you can approach the King of Kings. God is not mad at us. He's not out to get us. You and I, our most difficult situations, we have to know that we can approach God. In our broken and destitute state, we can, at our lowest point, that's when God is reaching out saying, come on. Verse 3, and in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So you saw that Mordecai and all the people of God, they were humbling themselves. And again, surround yourself with people who know how to pray. Surround yourself when you tell people, I need you to pray and fast for me, they will. And not those who want to say, well, let's just go to happy hour. And let's just, you know, just kick back. Hey, hit this, drink that, do this, do that. Surround yourself with people who know how to go in their toolbox, their bag of tricks, and pray and fast and study the word and stand with you. So important of who we surround ourselves with. Then we get to verse 4. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. She was distressed and depressed. When she heard about the news of what was happening to God's people, and that's the way you and I should be. When we look at our family, we look at our friends, we look at what's going on in the world, how Christians are being persecuted. And how people are dying and going to hell. We should feel a hurt. We should feel distressed about that. We should see the writing on the wall and know that people need help. So she was exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. So she gets the news. She hears that Mordecai is in sackcloth and ashes, that he's broken. He's crying out to God. She sent clothes and said, hey, man, get yourself together. He said, no, I can't do it because a new suit's not going to cover this one up. A new pair of shoes is not going to get me through this. Not even a new house. Not even a new man or a new woman is going to get me through this. I need to get connected to God with this one. She said, cover up your issues with a new suit. No, I got to get close to God with this one. Get your hair done. Get your nails done. Cover up your issues and let's go out to a party. No, I need more than a party tonight. Amen. To get me through this one. He said, I got to get to the root of the matter. I really need this one. I really need God for this one. And quiet as it's kept, we need God for all of them, but really for this one. So it's just like with Adam and Eve, when they went for the fruit. See, this is kind of like that where Esther offered him some fruit, not in a bad way, but still she was asking the fruit. Asking him to go ahead and just take some fruit, but Adam said, no, I got to get to the root. So you can deal with the fruits in your life, but it's only because you're not dealing with the root of the issue. What's the root? The root is, and I came up with an acronym for it, it's your relationship in Christ. That's the R. The O is the obedience to what God's word says. The other O is offering your heart and your life 100% to God. And then the T is you're going to trust God with each and every situation and circumstance in your life. You got to get to the root. It all goes back to the root. So when you're dealing with people and they want to talk about the issues and cover them up, let's get to the root. How's your relationship with Christ? Are you being obedient to Christ? Have you offered 100% of your heart and life to Christ? Are you trusting Christ in each and every situation? That eliminates all that other foolishness. Get to the root. Stop dealing with the fruits and get to the root. You just can't cover it up. You can't cover this one up this time. No, I'm not going to get a new suit. No, I don't need a new suit. That's only temporary. Unless you and I deal with the root, we'll never get to the heart of the matter. And the root is always goes back to God. I need God in each and every situation. You get married, and if you haven't dealt with the root, it's only temporary. You get divorced, and you haven't done with the root. See, it's really not the other person. It's like us. You can get you a promotion. You can get fired from your job. I wrote down some of the fruits. Here's what the fruit looked like. The fruit can be a sickness, it can be a pink slip, it can be death, it can be slander, drugs, alcohol, a marriage, a divorce, a new relationship, an old flame that should have been extinguished a long time ago, and definitely doesn't need to be rekindled. Those are the fruits, but the root is the same. What's your relationship like with God? Are you in Christ? I didn't say are you coming to church, I'm saying are you in Christ, because if any man, if any woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's your relationship like with Christ? Are you obedient to the word of God? Are you offering 100% of your heart and life to Christ? And are you trusting God in each and every situation? That's the root. And I was going to think of something that for fruit, but I said, it don't even matter because I ain't going to deal with the fruit. I'm going to deal with the root. Thank you, Tommy. I'm glad you got that. All right. Why are you going to even deal with the fruit? Why are we still dealing with the fruit in the life when we should be dealing with the root of what's really going on? And stop giving so much attention to the fruit or the fruits. And start seeking the root. Amen. He said, I can't cover this up. You know, when your world falls apart, you just can't go out. Oh, I need to get away. I need to have a drink. We got to stop dealing with it like that, because only God can fill that empty void in our life that's missing. And at the end of the day, you and I, we still have to deal with you and I. I get me a new suit. I get me a new car. I get this. I get that. And then I come back home. And at the end of the day, I still got to deal with me. Mordecai said, I can't keep covering up my issues. You know, sometimes when you run so far from yourself, you run into yourself. Can't do it. Not this time. All right. So verse 5, then called Esther to Hattach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and what it was and why it was. You know, Esther's pretty cool. Right? What it was and why it was. I need to know what it was and why it was. All right. I get it, Esther. And she says she wants to go to Mordecai to find out what it was and why it was. Number one, she knew Mordecai was a man of integrity based on, make a note of it, Esther 2 and 21 and 22, where she put her life on the line because of Mordecai's words. So she knew Mordecai is going to tell me the truth. Mordecai is always honest. He's a man of integrity. He's a man of discernment. Ladies, when you're looking for a man, make sure you're looking for a man of integrity, a man of truth, and a man of discernment. Let me say that again, Ivy. Where you at? Where you at? Ladies, when you're looking for a man, make sure you're looking for a man of integrity, truth, and discernment. And that takes a process to find out. You don't come to pastor saying, I met him 2 weeks ago and this is the one. I don't want to hear that. It's a process. It takes time to get to know someone. So she goes to Mordecai because she knows Mordecai, if nothing else, he's going to tell her the truth. And then, ladies, look at that. Although she was the queen, she was humble enough. She was queen enough to humble herself and seek advice from somebody godly. Even though she made more money than Mordecai, higher position than Mordecai, she knew that it's okay to submit to someone who's godly and who's covering her. I don't know if my mic is working this morning. I'm not really sure if it's working this morning. I'm not sure. So she goes to Mordecai. She wants to know what it is and what it was. So here we go. We have this ping pong match. I know Hattach, he's probably getting a little tired, but he's going back and forth. So he went forth to Mordecai into the street. And look, case in point about Mordecai, look where he found him, in the presence of the king. Make sure you're looking for a man, a woman who you know where to find in the presence of the king. He wasn't at happy hour. He wasn't at the strip club. He wasn't hanging out somewhere. He was in the presence of the king. Verse 7, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him. The whole story, the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Isn't that something? We get back to money. We get back to a price. We get back to selling out because of money. And not that money is evil, but the love of money. When I love money more than you and your life and your salvation and your well-being, that is always a problem. And since we're on the subject of money, and it goes back to your tithes and your offerings in a way that if you're not tithing and you're not giving an offering, then you know that it gets back to the root. See, it comes back to, do you really trust God? Do you really believe that God could do more with the 10% than you can do with the 90? What if God would have said, I need 90% and I'll give you 10? That would be a problem. I mean, he could have said that, right? Or God said, let's do 50-50. I just created you. I did everything for you. I allow you to breathe. Can we just do 50-50? But God said, no, just give me 10%. So I'll just give me 10 and I guarantee you I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't have room enough to receive. And so then it gets back to what? The root, my relationship, my obedience, am I offering my life, and do I really trust God in each and every situation? It's real simple. So as you're evaluating your life, each and every situation, get what is the root. How do I deal with this dealing with the root? Don't complicate. Don't try and complicate God. It's really not that complicated. It's really simple. So we got the money issue. They sold them out for money. I hope you and I, that we don't get to the point where we're selling God out for money. Remember, we've talked about it before. Money is just a tool. It's not the assignment. When you make money your assignment, then that's a problem. Money is just a tool of exchange. It's not the assignment. Too many people make money their assignment, and then they connive and they backbite. And instead of trusting God, they're trusting the tool and not the assignment. So as you're praying in your quiet time, God, what is my assignment? And I guarantee you, if you're lined up with God, with your assignment, and your root is in line, then the provision, God takes care of the provision. Will you have a big house and a man? I don't know. Maybe not. But wherever you are, you're with God, and you know that's the best place to be. Wherever you are, you're with God, and you know it's no better place to be. Those of us who are striving to walk with God daily, and when you wake up and your knees hit the side of that bed or whatever, and you tell God thank you, and you spend a few minutes, bless you. You know there's no better place to be And that has nothing to do. Think about how many friends we know have a big house or a nice car and just miserable and empty. Think about it. Just look at the world today. Look at society today. That stuff is just a temporary cover. Don't be fooled by that. Youth, please don't be fooled by that stuff. Stay close to God. Stay close to God. Those of us that are not so young, let's not get caught up. We know that if that brought happiness, then we wouldn't even be in church. We'd be out blasé somewhere. But it doesn't. We know that deep down inside, when you look in your heart, man, I need God. I need God. And I'll cover it up and I'll mask it with alcohol, with drugs, with sex, whatever. But then at the end of the day, I still got to deal with me. And I know something's missing. I'm not going to sell God out for money or anything else. Because I really trust God in each and every situation. So here we go. Verse 8, and he also gave him a copy of the writing of the decree. So he gave him a copy to take to Esther that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her and to charge her, tell Esther that she should go into the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. Esther, you got to do something about this. You're right there with the king. I'm charging. You need to go in and say something. On behalf of your people. let me see. I write a note by that. All right. So go in. I wrote a note, but I left that note at home anyway. But he tells her, you should go in. Make supplication. Oh, don't be afraid to approach the king. Make a request before him. And Hattach, so here he goes. And Hattach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Verse 10, and Esther spake unto Hattach and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai. She said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. Except to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. So we know the law, according to the custom and the culture back then. You can't just come in to the king. You can't just show up. You can't just come to somebody's house. How many of you guys go to somebody's house and just show up? You don't do that. Nobody want to see you like that. Okay. The king said, call before you come. Don't just show up. And the king, obviously, you know, he had a wife. But back then, the culture was they had concubines, they had anything. So Esther just can't. You're the queen, but you just can't show up. Because I might not want to see you. And ladies, I give you a news flash. If your man ain't called, text, emailed, or said anything in 30 days, he probably don't want to see you no more. Make a note, if I ain't called you in 30 days, there's probably a reason why. Ladies, if he ain't called you in 30 days, don't show up at his house. You don't want to do that. Men, if she ain't called you in 30 days, don't let it go. Don't go showing up and I was thinking about you. Well, obviously, I haven't been thinking about you. That's embarrassing, Kathy. So Mordecai's telling her, you need to go. She said, I ain't even seen him in 30 days. He ain't called me. He don't want to see me. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, well, he tells her, look, and they told Mordecai in verse 12. And then Mordecai commanded to Esther, hey, you're not going to escape this either. Just because you're in a big house right now, just because you got it going on right now, you still called, you still the people of God. Verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to Esther, think not thyself that you're going to escape the king's house more than all the others. They're going to eventually find out that you're a Jew too, and they're going to kill you. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget to remember why God has you in the midst of that king's house. He said, for if you all together, verse 14, if you all together hold your peace at this time, underline it this time. Remember, this book is providence, it's timing, it's favor, it's obedience. It's all wrapped up into this book. The name of God is not mentioned once, but the hand of God is all through this book. For if you remain completely silent and keep your peace at this time, then shall the enlargement or the relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. He's saying, if you don't step up for God right now, God is going to send somebody else, because that's how God works. And his will is going to be accomplished. But your life will never, you will never reach where God wanted you to go. If you don't step up and start serving God right now, he's going to use somebody else. If we don't go and preach the gospel, God's going to send somebody out there, because that's his word. But the mission for our life, the purpose and the method of our life, we'll never get there. So we'll be somewhere, but we won't be where God wants us. That's what he's telling her. Oh, it's going to happen, because God is like that. God is not going to let his people be destroyed, but your life will never be the same in God. You'll never reach your ultimate potential in God because you didn't step up, because you didn't serve God, because you were afraid of a man, because you were afraid people were going to talk about you, that you might lose something. Well, they might fire me from the job if I pray during my lunchtime. Well, that's your lunchtime. If I share Christ to someone before or after work, they might fire me. Well, if God's leading you to share, then you got it. God's got it covered. Maybe it's another door he's opening for you. I'm not saying be reckless on your job, but I'm saying use wisdom. And when you're connected with God, God wants you to share the gospel with someone. You get the opportunity, and it's not on company time. No, you can't be walking around preaching the gospel. No, that's company time. But when opportunity presents itself, and whether it's lunchtime or some other time, and you get a chance to share because God has put that person on your heart, then you need to share. Verse 14, for if thou altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall the enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. Here's one of our favorite lines of scripture. Amen. And then Mordecai talks about the providence of God. And think about where you are. Your job, your ministry, your family. And he says, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. He's saying, you and I, you know, God could have set this whole thing up, that you just happen to be where you are, where someone comes through who needs God. That you just happen to be where you are to make a difference for God. Somebody underline that if you haven't. You're not, you know, you and I, we've been born. It is a crazy time to be a Christian. It is a tough time. When I was growing up as a kid, they still had prayer in school. Now they don't want to see God nowhere. And you and I, we're born for such a time as this. God, why wouldn't you have us born at this time? Because I have something for you to do. Regardless of what's going on in society, it's no question about it. We know that we were born for such a time as this. Otherwise, we wouldn't born another time. God, why do you have me in Long Beach in 2015? For such a time as this. Is some work for the kingdom that you and I need to be doing in Long Beach and wherever he has us. It's no accident that you are where you are. That's why we don't complain about our job. We're thankful because you're at your job for such a time as this. It's not about the job. It's about you reaching others for Christ while you're there. Why do you have me in this family? Why do you have me here? Why? For such a time as this. And when it's time to, when God transition you to somewhere else, then you go for such a time as this. All right, so Esther gets the point in verse 15. Then Esther ordered them, return to Mordecai this answer. Go gather all the Jews, somebody underline all, that are present in Shushan, and fast for me. Remember, you got to surround yourself with people. You say, look, I need you to fast for me. Skip a meal for me. I'm really trying to get some clarity on this. Now, you just can't call anybody for that. Amen.
Amen.
Say, go get. OK, get. I got it. Esther gets it. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Boy, I tell you. That's why I like to fast and pray every morning, because that's a tough one. I know some of us in here, we've done that fast when we were at the worship center. I did it once. They would try and do it every year. I did it once. I'm like, I'm done. called the Esther fast. Tommy, Stephanie? Yeah, oh my gosh. Is Merlin and Clarence? Oh my gosh. We thought the pastor was crazy. Can I say, we're going to do the Esther fast? Yeah, okay. Because we, you know, when you fast, you know, I have my juice, I have my water, I'll get through this. Cat said 3 days and nights, no food, no water. Dude, you didn't lie. Oh, Brandy, yeah. 3 days, no food, no water. Pastor, you lost it. I was with you until you said that. Then he shows the scripture and it's like, whoa. Wow, so they did. I didn't even think that was in the Bible. I thought he was fooling around. Aren't y'all glad y'all have a pastor? We're not going to do that. Family, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. That's why I'm saying get up and I don't want you to pray and fast for 3 days. I want you praying and fasting every day,
amen.
Every morning, 365. Amen. Whew, but Esther got serious. Her life is on the line.
Yes.
She wanted to cover up the issues, but then she remembered who she was. She's a child of God. I got to get to the root of it. I got to go after God. You get to the root of it when you're fasting 3 days and three nights. Trust me, you are communicating with God. You begging God. You petitioning God. You're seeking God. Okay, I can't cover it up. Then I got to go all out. Somebody get that in your spirit. I can't stop covering up and go all out. Because you'll never know what God can do if you're not all in. She said, I'm going all out for God. 3 days, three nights, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So y'all praying and fasting, me and my entourage, we're praying and fasting. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. So I'm going to the king, I'm just going to show up. Ain't seen my man in 30 days, I don't know what he's doing, but I'm going to his house. And if I perish, I perish. If he kills me, I'm going all out for God. If this God thing doesn't work, then I have no backup plan. I have no plan B, C, or D. We got to get rid of plans B, C, and D, family. Because if I got a back, well, I'm going to try God out for a couple of months. If he ain't working, then cool. And I'll just go, it's either God or nothing. If you don't go all out, you'll never see the hand of God move. Because only you and God know if you've given him 100% of your heart and your life.
Amen.
Only God knows that. So if you don't go all out, then you'll never know. And I don't care how many new suits you get, new relationships you get, new cars, new stuff, how many churches. I'm leaving that church. I'm going to try a new church. It's not the church. It's the root. It's you. I don't care how you cover it up. Until you go all the way out, you will never see what God has for you. Verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Ooh. I'm going all out. You go all out. And let's see what God can do. And we'll pick it up there next week. Let's bow our heads just for a brief moment. Wow, God. Lord, as you're trying to grow us up, as you're challenging us to get to the root, what is our relationship like in Christ? Are we obedient to his word? Well, we got to know his word to be obedient to his word. Have we offered 100% of our heart and life to Christ? And do we trust you in each and every situation? Let us just deal with the root and stop dealing with stuff. When we deal with the root, it eliminates a lot of the other stuff. It gives us the spirit of discernment where we can see what's really going on. And then we commit ourselves to you to praying and fasting and not covering up issues with new clothes and new relationships and new jobs and a new car and a new place to stay. But it's still the same old us with the same issues at the end of the day. Thank you for challenging us, Lord. We don't want to be the same. We don't come to church to play games. No games, no tricks, no gimmicks, Lord. We're going after you. We want to live for you. We want to see what you can do when we give you 100%. What you can do in our marriages, in our relationships. What you can do with our children, what you can do with our church, what you can do with our ministry, what you can do with our life, what you can do with our businesses, what you can do in our jobs. When we give you 100%, when we have others praying with us and praying for us and fasting with us and fasting for us. God, what you can do when we give you 100%. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. So we're just asking right now, Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. That's my root. The root is I need Christ in my heart. I need Christ in my life. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, well, I just need to rededicate. I've been dealing with fruits, literally and figuratively. I've never dealt with the root, which is me and my relationship and selling out 100%. Maybe you need to rededicate this morning. Maybe God's put on your heart. Yeah, I got to get it together. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I just need a place from the worship to the word where I know that God is real. The presence of God is there. People love God and people are doing their best to serve God. Not a perfect church, but a church that's loyal to God and loyal to His people in love. That's you, elevate your hand. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. Come on up, Katie. We thank you, Lord. Can I ask some of my sisters to come and pray with me as we cover Sister Katie for rededication. So we want to get to the root. And we love you, Lord. Thank you for the challenge to get it right. We don't come to church to be the same. We come to church so we can be changed through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, God, we don't want to just deal with the root. We're tired of dealing with stuff and issues and trying to cover them up. Look at my new house. Look at my new job. Look at my new suit. Look at my new shoes. Look at this. Look at that. But never dealing with the root, covering it up. Knowing that I need you, Lord, more today than ever. So we thank you for the spirit of rededication. We thank you for the spirit of power that's in this place. We know that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Yes. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, that you removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You've cast them in the sea of forgetfulness to never remember them anymore. Let us walk with newness of life. There's no condemnation to them that love God, who walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Thank you for a second, third, fourth, fifth chance, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We thank you. So as we rededicate our lives, Lord, say, God, we can do better. Give us the power through your Holy Spirit, because we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Give us the strength to do better, Lord. Let us study. Let us pray. Let us get into our tool bag. Stay out of the flesh and operate in the Spirit. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you and we bless you for this rededication this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give somebody a hug. You are dismissed.
Jay, I feel lukewarm. I don't feel my fire no more.
Mm-hmm.